there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Lots of great reasons to bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. They have great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. They have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay and discover the most popular SGPs each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, so they know we sent you. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Controversial Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, June 9th.
The Under Fire Volume Podcast
Network. The volume, you're going to get these podcast network. It's Monday, June 9th. We're talking about the finals game from last night. Obviously, as always, Jenkins and Jones hosted by my good friend, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Well, Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And do we want to talk about which of the huge bummers of last night do we want to talk about first, guys? Draymond or Klay?
Let's talk about franchise volume employee, Draymond Green. The once universally respected, admired position of podcaster is under scrutiny for the first time.
Under siege!
Podcasters are not being respected for the first time in human history.
In a shocking turn of developments, people are questioning the necessity of podcasts for the first time. Well, we touched on it. You know, Dre got asked at the press conference last night by a reporter, does he think that the Celtics are getting X's and O's insights into the Warriors game plans from his podcast? John has rolled his eyes a record three times in asking of this question. But first of all, your thoughts on that. Draymond was clearly
very bothered by that question. He definitely went off on the dude a little bit. But what was your response to that? That's ludicrous to me personally, but I don't know. Maybe you see it different.
Yeah, I think that was legitimately an insult to Draymond's intelligence to say that he would be out here giving away intel in the finals, right? You know, giving away, you know, detail X's and O's. Like Draymond called him out and said, what have I said besides, you know, Derek White, fucking Horford, and you know, Marcus Smart, we need to give them more difficult looks. Like, what the fuck is so, you know what I'm saying, top secret, you know, covert file about that? And I get that. You know, I think that, you know, it's all fun and games to clown about the podcast. And like, you know, it's some good jokes. Like, yeah, he's going to run to he's going to record at the halftime knowing Draymond. Like, the podcast jokes are cool. But once you get into the whole questioning, you know, is Draymond focused here? Questioning, you know, is he giving away valuable intel? I think that's when we need to pump our brakes. It's a fucking podcast. He's talking for an hour, bro. That's not distracting any of his focus from this. He's not giving away any high, you know, fucking intel here. So like I said, I think the jokes are totally fine. But when we start doing serious analysis and serious finger pointing here, that's when I'm like, yeah, we need to pump our brakes.
He made something really funny very annoying. And that is the problem with it. We were laughing at the fucking jokes. They were great. And then you come being serious in a very dumb way about something that you shouldn't be serious about. That was more frustrating. You know, I want to just laugh at this shit because it's funny. Like you were saying, Tyler, the jokes are funny. When you get serious about something like that, questioning his integrity as a fucking basketball player. Is he, you know, putting his team at risk of losing or not focused? The fuck? You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers out here posting lean. Okay, you know what I mean? on IG, and we worried about a podcast, a man's talking, you know? I think the question is more, this Draymond, I mean, we've seen him be really good in big moments, but is he at that point, like we were talking about with Chris Paul and other players, where he can't do it as much as consistently, you know what I mean? And as far as numbers, you know, we haven't seen Draymond really put up the type of numbers that we thought he may need in order for them to win, you know, in a while. So I just think it's just, I think it's he's maybe just not as good as he once was. And I think this size is giving him trouble. And that makes sense. And that's fine. You know,
I definitely want to talk about I want to get back to making jokes about the performance. But before we do that, I did want to actually ask Jackson, do you mind hopping on, Jackson? Because I know you probably don't like address this whatsoever on the Draymond Green podcast. But I'm curious for your take on this. Like, you're producing the pod. You're the one who's organizing the schedule. There are genuine verified basketball minds who are saying this podcast is a distraction.
Like, are they really saying it? Oh, wait,
yes,
really?
As yes. Though there's I, not, you know,
Famer, one Isaiah Thomas, Zeke, I my saw dog that. Said it. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
And there's you're talking about one game every 3 days on the finals schedule here where a dude is going to be recording a podcast for a half hour or something after their game. Like, to me, it's the same thing as saying the press conferences are a distraction or something. It's just part of his media obligations, you know.
And he's talking basketball. It's not right. Like he's not talking about the thing that he'll be doing or playing. It's not a totally different industry that's pulling him away from right. The sport that he plays. He's talking basketball, you know what I mean? And it's just talking. I think it's ridiculous.
But Tyler's right. Zeke said, you know, the way he's playing is because he's not focused. And now after Jackson chimes in, we talk about why he's playing the way he's playing.
I don't know if it's just not focused.
I totally agree with you. But Jackson, what do you think? I mean, it's kind of weird because they're talking about your podcast, even though it's obviously Dre's podcast. But you're the person who's making the podcast out of him talking. So what have you thought about all the chatter about all this stuff?
I think it's rather silly. Dre has said this before on the show, and he said it emphatically last night. Like, what is he supposed to be doing? Like, he's 32 or something. He's not going to the club. So he's already not doing probably the most distracting thing he could be doing. Especially when he's on the road, he's just sitting in a hotel room in Boston. He's the type of player, he said this before as well, he doesn't really sleep after games. Like, he's up until like 3-4 in the morning. His mind is just like racing about the game.
Understandably so.
Right. And so like, what's he going to do? Like, he could like sit and watch game film, which he does anyways. Still going to do that. He does it the night, at least during the finals, we've been doing them the night of every single game. So that way it doesn't go into the next day when he has practice and film and media obligations. Like, he's actually actively doing the podcast in a way that is being the least distracting. You know, a thing that's not already not distracting. He's doing right. He's using the time that he would just be sitting around watching TV at two, like literally in Boston last night, it was 2 in the morning.
Let me cross-examine you. You've never logged on with Draymond and he's turned off film to talk to you? That's never happened, not even once?
He's never left the practice early to podcast with you, Jackson? Tell the truth!
Nah, he's cut the podcast short to get to film.
Of course he has.
That's the only thing that's ever happened like that.
It's so weird that we even have to have this conversation. It's the thirstiest fucking shit ever. We're thinking Draymond Green isn't doing everything he physically can to win a fucking chip. Draymond Green, I mean, he's one of the 5-10 people that I think we could never really question his effort. His commitment, you know what I mean? It's just wild. And I don't think, like you said, like I was alluding to earlier, is like, I don't think it's just that he's not focused. You know,
Tyler, do you have any further questions for this witness before we dismiss him?
No, I think it all comes back to how everyone believes if a professional athlete loses, he should just wallow in his misery in the dark and either just hop on the treadmill for 5 straight hours or hunker down with some film until the crack of dawn. And that's not how it has to be. You know what I mean? These are real life people. These are humans. These are people who, you know what I'm saying, who are still extremely dedicated, extremely focused on the task at hand. And they can cut out some time to be a human for a fucking hour and talk basketball on a podcast. You know what I mean? It goes back to that whole fucking flawed way of thinking that after a loss that these athletes can't, you know, be human. And I fucking hate that.
There's also like an almost S&M dynamic to it with basketball fans and sports fans that I hate, where it's like, ooh, yeah, he's talking honestly. Like, ooh, he's not just giving the same boring answers. I love this. Ooh, I love it. And then as soon as something goes wrong, it's like, psst. Because he's too worried about that podcast.
Right. The fuck?
You know, it's like when it's the regular season, all this other stuff, everyone's excited about, oh, there's a guy communicating in this innovative way. Like, yeah, maybe this is actually with a guy like Draymond more interesting and honest than kind of fielding some of the dumb questions you see at press conferences. And then as soon as there's a moment to turn it into a, like, you know, fans are like punishing players for giving them what they want, right? It's like, oh, now you're like, once you lose, like Tyler said, you're supposed to be a robot and just be like, oh, well, we're going to get him on Friday. Yep. No, the crowd didn't bother me at all. We'll get him on Friday. And, you know, Draymond, I think he is what athletes are going to look more like over the upcoming years. Sure. They're saying in the way that everything in our economy and about our human lives is monetized in our economy. He is saying, and other athletes are saying, my honesty will come at a price. Someone signed me to do a podcast. I will hop on and say stuff that I'm not saying in the press conferences, and more power to him. Like, that's like, athletes should have, it's their opinion, it's their voice. They should have the ability to monetize that in the way that I, as a sports writer, the sports writer is going to the press conference. We are monetizing those opinions that they have to sit there and respond to questions. Right. So I think we've settled what the focus thing or not. But I do think when you have guys like Isaiah Thomas saying he's not focused, it's like, it does become a real basketball question. What I would prefer to talk about, as John has alluded to, is Isaiah Thomas referring to grade school game Draymond Green for having a quadruple single yet again.
There looking like a third grader. It's so wild, though, how all these sports fans suddenly turn into, like, your 60-year-old mom, because you be on that damn phone all the time. Like,
you be on that Nintendo. I was on that damn Nintendo.
You're on that damn Nintendo.
Can't even pronounce Nintendo.
You put the damn phone down, baby. Come on, man.
Put the basketball down and pick a book up. That's what my mom used to be on me about. She was right, though. I can't even lie.
Yeah. But shouts to Draymond. I saw the quote where he was like, you motherfuckers are mad because you don't do the numbers to Draymond Green podcast. I will always podcast.
You're gonna get this podcast.
I'll die for this podcast shit too, dog. Podcast is life. I am nothing without this podcast. Do you hear me? I will stand on that. I will die for Jenkins and Jones, God damn it.
I turn this microphone off and I just shut down like a robot facing the wall and just stand there until the next time we go live.
I have no reason to live unless I'm podcast.
They really expect people to catch an L and just sit there. You know what I mean? Don't do anything but, like, What do we do as humans when we get down on something? We want to distance ourselves from or do something different, right? Why do we expect these players to do anything different? That's so weird to me. It's just so weird to me. It's so weird.
No, okay, sir. Can we talk about the biggest bummer from last night?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Klay Thompson committed the cardinal sin. You are allowed to lose to the Boston Celtics in the finals. You are allowed to play great. You are allowed to beat them. You're allowed to lose. You're allowed to play like shit. You are not allowed to make the Boston Celtics fans cool or someone that I want to side with.
What happened?
And when you go in a press conference after a loss and say that they're a rude crowd, dropping F-bombs with children in the crowd, real classy. Good job, Boston.
What is he saying with F-bombs? Is he saying fucking or is it the other F word?
That they were chanting fuck Draymond.
Oh.
Yeah. And this man went, what about the children? Real classy, Boston. Not my dog Klay, man.
Not Klay Thompson.
Klay, bro.
No. He really did this. Yeah,
Klay went full Republican mom on
it. I thought it was racism based upon what people were telling me. I didn't know it was just like...
No, it's like I said,
normal
this is a double sickening moment because I'm disappointed in Klay and I'm siding with Boston fans here because they saying a fuck Draymond chant is completely within the lines, especially when we see the depth of those motherfuckers can go to, right? Like fuck Draymond is fair game, bro. And for him to just do the whole Helen Lovejoy, oh, the children, hand-wringing. Come on, man.
He's complaining that they dropped F-bombs with children in the audience. I watched the games at Oracle Arena. Give me a motherfucking break.
We were at Oracle, bro. We were there. We saw it, G. Come on, bro.
And the whole thing is, it was probably a kid in Boston who started that motherfucking chant.
And good for that kid, too.
Bro. It was probably a 9-year-old drinking Guinness, smoking a cigarette who started that shit, bro. Listen, when I think of Boston kids, I think of, like, I don't even have an image of, like, a 2022 Boston kid. Whenever you ask me to picture a Boston child, I imagine, like, an old-timey, like, chimney sweep kid. I imagine, like, a 4-foot kid in fucking overalls, sooty as a motherfucker.
Like hard-bottom shoes on. Right?
That's the image I have of Boston children, bro. It's a rough-ass city, man. They don't give a fuck about feelings. And
They don't. And we've established, I think, what we feel the lines are on this podcast pretty clearly. You don't insult someone as a human being, you know, whether it's about their race or their sexuality or whatever. But fuck Draymond at a basketball game. Like, come on, man. We're worried about the kids. Like, you think people took their kids, the home crowd took their kids. I don't know, Draymond's son was there. You know, his kids were there, too. But like, you think that that's a concern for anyone at an NBA game? Like, I don't know. That's not what I'm worried about with my kids. You know,
This might make me think the Warriors kind of shook. That's a like, you know, you reaching down in the depths of saying some weird shit because you ain't got nothing else to say. Y'all just got your ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? And you don't really know how to fix that. You know what I mean? Like, just talk about what you finna do. Like the kids. Like that doesn't seem like something that Klay would say normally. You know what I mean?
I thought Klay was one of the like three cool professional athletes on planet Earth. You know what I mean? Like,
you get the same weird shit when you shook, though. You get the same weird shit when you shook. And the way they got their ass whooped last night, they had a little third quarter, did they thing, and the Warrior and the Celtics went to stretch that motherfucker right back out. I said this on OP, but the way they was doing Steph Curry whenever he was switching, sheesh.
That boy
Lord have mercy,
that
bro.
Boy was food.
Looking like Alexis Texas. They was tossing that man. You feel me?
It's been kind of cool.
Flipping and flopping that man. Is it my turn yet? Run him, please.
on shots put up on Steph, they were 8-for-12. So that boy was food out there. But yeah, and you know,
John said he looked like Steph Divine, bro.
Yeah, you feel me? He was looking nice and delicious out there. You feel me?
But it's been such a analytic.
The conductor was pulling the horn consistently.
it's been such an analytic hipster take that Steph is a shutdown defender now, and if you don't see that, you don't know the game, right? And that's not the fucking case. Let's stop lying to ourselves here. That boy was food last night, bro.
And he's made some steps too.
I was one of those. I was a, like, the effort level is at a much higher, like,
no, you know, no,
I was one of those for sure. I was one of those for sure after the first two games.
He's much better. He's played, he's a great team. He's a good, I won't say great. He's a decent team defender.
Yeah.
He's a solid team defender.
People are putting out numbers that say he's the best on-ball defender this,
no.
these playoffs. Have you seen that? No, I haven't seen that.
And bro, did you see Jason Tatum whenever the switch came? Jason, one of the most chill fucking, you know, like, he ain't a begging for the ball ass motherfucker. As soon as he saw Steph, give it to me, please. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was wild to see. They beat them in a way. It's like they finally realized that they're bigger, stronger, and more athletic. And they bullied them. It's like, yo, we're not playing. There's no Giannis in the paint. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a Bam in the paint. Let's fuck, and we're not going to press too far, too much. We're going to attack the bucket, and if somebody steps up, we'll release to the shooter. But we're not going to try to outshoot them. We're going to play our game and see if they can fuck with us. And last night, they couldn't.
That game was much more concerning to me as someone who never wants to see anything good happen to Boston. Game three was much more concerning to me than game one because of exactly what you just said. Game one, I know it's been 15 games in a row that we've been saying the Celtics can't keep shooting like this. But genuinely, I just don't think a game plan built around shooting 50% from three is going to be sustainable over a seven-game series. What they did last night is sustainable as fuck.
Bro, like, let's attack the bucket. I mean, you can shoot 60% if you at the rim every other bucket. You feel what I'm saying? You know what I mean? They attacked the bucket. They out-rebounded them. You know what I mean? Like, they took threes when they're available. And these are very hittable open threes, even with the zone. You know what I'm saying? When Horford flashing in the middle, like, you know, using the big, the flashing, using their size, you can see over the defense because ain't nobody out there other than Looney that has any real size. I mean, it was some very solid basketball. They had the little laps and they reeled it back in and stretched it back out again.
I don't want to ask you to go on the victory parade too early, John, but it must have done your St. Louis blood pumping heart good to see Jason Tatum and Nelly courtside yesterday.
Oh, I love to see it, man. I love to see it. Mr. Get your eagle on. I can't believe he made that song, bro. But Nelly had some hits. First two albums were classics. But for me, the best part about seeing like what Tatum did yesterday was he just let the game come to him. You know, I felt like the first two games, he's putting a lot of pressure on himself. Bro, stop, you know, like with the Kobe stuff and all that. But understandable. I'm not judging. You know what I mean? But, bro, you're Jason Tatum. You're good enough. Just be you, baby. You feel me? And I felt like he played within himself last night. Didn't do too much. And that's what I love to see. But, yeah, seeing him with Nelly, you know, St. Louis in the crib for sure. You know what I mean? The crib was in the house. So I love to see that.
We talked about Ime's motivational speech to the Celtics before game four of game one, where he said, they're punking you. He had another great line before for the fourth quarter of game three. He asked his team, quote, "Will you guys stop playing like assholes?"
Only an Ime can say that too, though, bro. Right? You know what I mean? Like, I think only an Ime can say that. I love that. You know, the relationship and the bond he has with those dudes is so solid, being that he gets away with that type of stuff. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of coaches that can speak to their players in that way, and they always respond because they fuck with them. So I loved it. I love to see it.
Tyler, do you respond differently to that question if it's coming from John versus if it's coming from a middle manager?
Oh, for sure. Like if you ain't the homie, you can't talk to me like that.
Right.
I don't fuck with you like that, bro.
I don't even know you, nigga. Yeah. First off, like, you know what I'm saying? But if y'all said it to me, it'd be like, all right, I'm tripping. You know, like when somebody that you fuck with says that to you, you question you. When somebody you don't fuck with says it to you, you question them. Like, nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like you could tell they really fuck with him based upon the way he converses with them. And how they respond to it. You got somebody like Marcus Smart in there. He ain't going for just anything. You know what I mean? You can't just talk to that type of dude that's any type of way. So there's a lot of respect in that locker room.
They were butting heads at the beginning of the season. Like, Marcus Smart was like, yo, I don't like the way this dude is handling shit right now. You know? So yeah, they've come a long way. And, yep. And I think part of something that Ime has instilled in them is, you know, having a short memory in like the best possible way. Like, you know, if okay, we fucked up. All right, let's move on. Let's adjust. Let's because you look at this series, they've taken a patented Warriors third quarter flurry every fucking game. Yep. And they only got knocked the fuck out once. You know what I'm saying? Right? A game two.
And that they got knocked the fuck out, though.
They got knocked through the ropes game, motherfucker.
Right. They looking like Martin.
Yeah. But it's and we've seen how they adjust in the fourth. Like, I think I saw a stat that said in this series, the Warriors have outscored Boston 40 in the third, and Boston has outscored the Warriors 43 in the fourth. Right? Like, that's the story of the series right there. You know what I mean? The Warriors are hitting them with that patented third quarter flurry that usually, you know, puts the game away. But they're responding in the fourth. We've seen it two out of these three games.
How did the Warriors respond? It's the Celtics look like the better team. You know what I mean? And we didn't think that.
I think we thought they were.
I said some shit like that, but I said I was also trying to lie to myself, and now I'm believing the lie, and I haven't believed the lie since 2017. Yeah. Okay,
I was leaning on the whole savvy veteran thing, which could still prove to play out. We'll see, but a lot of highs and lows left still.
Yeah. Right. Every win in the finals feels like it's the end of it. After game two,
the pendulum swings ridiculously.
Because after game two, it was like. You know, there were people, you know, going like, oh, I said Warriors in five. It's still Warriors in five, you know.
It was in game one, I think they said that the Warriors had an 8% chance of winning. Then it swung violently after game two. Now it swung violently again.
That's the fun of it. I enjoy that. I know that some of the media shit gets obnoxious, but I personally, as a fan, do genuinely feel that way in my heart. Like, this team is invincible now. They'll never lose again.
We were talking about, like, you know, Klay not really having it like he usually does. And Klay had a Klay game and they still didn't win. You know, Klay had an old Klay game. You know, like Tyler, you said, y'all remember that guy, Klay Thompson?
Well, he showed up.
We saw it, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if that's sustainable based upon, you know, Klay, his age and the energy and all that. But like for Klay to show up and then not win that one, that's troubling. And also we talk about in golf, a repeatable swing. You know what I mean? Dog, that looked very repeatable.
Yeah,
they were not playing outside of themselves. Nobody was. I'll say that the first quarter, the first half for Jaylen Brown, 22, that's a lot. He was going crazy. But I think he ended up with like 20, 29, which is not outside of Jaylen Brown.
Nope.
You're 27, you know, so.
Sigh.
I get it, bro. I get it on the side shit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't fuck with these fucking lucky. Don't step on lucky ass motherfuckers. I'm just celebrating Tatum. Fuck everybody else. Don't come at me like we won, because I don't fuck with you. You know what I mean? I'm just here for the crib. You know, I don't want nobody to hit me up. We did it. No, we didn't do it. Jason did it. I don't know you, nigga. So I get the side. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah.
But fuck the Warriors. I mean, fuck Warriors fans, too, honestly.
No, yeah. I get that.
They be trying to get motherfuckers fired over talking shit about, bro, we just having fun over here,
A bystander Everybody's with, like, 2,000 followers when all the Warriors fan shit was going crazy. So I don't have any personal skin in that. But I'm happy for you if it keeps going this way, and for Jason Tatum and for Nelly, I guess.
and everybody else. That's what's weird about the Celtics. We would love that Celtics team if they weren't the Celtics.
Sure.
The people on the team, like, we like, you don't like, we love Jaylen Brown. Solid dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We love Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart, I'll fuck with Marcus Smart. You know what I'm saying? The people on the squad are cool. Horford's kind of annoying, but seeing him do this is not like, you know, I'm not like anti-Horford. You feel me? If they weren't the Celtics, we fuck with them. So,
we
can say the same about the Warriors, too.
For sure. last basketball topic before we move on to some other nonsense is we said as kind of a joke, I think, before the finals started that, like, as long as Steph Curry showed up to the finals with his shoes tied for every game, the reporters are going to vote him finals MVP. I actually think three games in, I mean, there's a little bit of a case to be made. Do you think he's actually in the running in a serious way for winning that award, even if they lose?
No,
they can't do that.
They can't do that.
That would be worse than him going down with zero final MVPs on his resume. If they gave him that the loser finals MVP,
right.
Special. But no, nah, they can't do that. They cannot do that. That's only going to inflame the joke, bro. Don't do that.
And yeah, please don't do that to Steph. Steph deserves better. You know what I mean? I think like we talk about him being stamped and he is stamped, but I think that would sully. You know what I'm saying? Like Mike Tyler was saying,
it would be worse
than not having. It would sully like, you know, like his you know, his legacy. But yeah.
They can't make a wish kid and all that.
Right. Tyler got some heat for him. I see you.
I wanted to do it just for Tyler. I would turn notifications back on Twitter for the first time in 6 years if they give him that shit.
Shit, that would go crazy.
Because Tyler will wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and let off a fucking bazooka missile. You know what I just thought of?
And it would be like 3 months later till he'd be like, and remember when Steph Curry.
One more thing.
Right.
Steph Curry.
Right.
And that finals MVP.
Right. When he's adding to a thread that's like 3 months long. Like, he'll go back to that thread a month later. Oh, come on, Jim.
Oh, shit.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. We've used Angie at my house. We had some work done. We had some painting done. We were able to find a bunch of really qualified people with good rates through Angie and pick someone we were really happy with. It was super easy to use the app, super easy to connect with someone. We got the call right away, so we didn't have to sit around and wait.
Your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie gets the difficulties that come with home projects. Why not make it as simple as possible to tackle that project? Turn to Angie with confidence, even for major renovations or emergency repairs.
Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA Finals are here. So is your chance to score big on FanDuel Sportsbook. Throughout the NBA Finals, FanDuel is giving new customers $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Bet the money line, point spreads, player props, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. Obviously, we're talking about the finals. We got that next game coming up on Friday. I think that's a big bounce back game for the Warriors. I don't think they're going to go out in the gentleman's sweep. So I would have the Warriors. Which player will hit the most three-pointers? I think if they're going to win, that's going to be Steph Curry. So that's how I would build my same game parlay. Just sign up with promo code JNJ. That's J-A-N-D-J. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot, because the only thing sweeter than watching the finals is cashing in on all the action. Join today with promo code JNJ and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose. Make every game feel like Game 7 with FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel, an official partner of the NBA. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. First online real money wager of at least $5. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipts. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Okay, let's talk about some non-basketball stuff. I do have a couple other sports stories, including this is not really a topic. I just think it's something funny we can all laugh at. Are you guys aware of the historic losing streak that the Angels are on currently at this moment?
No. That's baseball, isn't it?
They lost a baseball team.
Just wanted to make sure.
They lost 11. Trout and Otani. So that's
they got some dogs.
Part of the thing that's been crazy about the Angels is I don't think they've been to the playoffs in 8 years, despite the fact that they have had a guy that many consider the best baseball player, you know, certainly of the modern era, but like up there with anyone ever. Plus, obviously, incredibly exciting guy in Otani. And it's just
they had some good pulls here too. But
just nothing. And so they're on like an 11 game wins loss streak. They fired their head coach, who's a Long Beach guy, by the way, who literally will walk into a bar down here and just buy everyone beer and then disappear.
you shouldn't have shouted him out after.
Well, he won a World Series ring with the Cubs, so you know what I mean.
So like he's fine.
He's a rich old dude who's just walks around playing golf and getting drunk in Long Beach. He's chill. Yeah.
He's
not
living
about it
everybody's
at all.
Dream, particularly mine.
So they fire the manager, and the new manager goes, okay, they get to like 13. Last night they're trying to avoid their 13th straight loss. So the interim coach says, like, we're going to try and mix it up, and so at home. They had the walk-up music for every player on the team be a different Nickelback song.
Get
remember
the
Nickelback?
Fuck out of here.
Can you take me higher? Oh, fucking
God. Did they invent that way of singing?
Huh?
Did they invent that way of singing?
White guys who can't sing have always sung like that.
Yeah, okay. You got a homie from Creed, one of the forefathers of the here. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I think I did a Creed song, actually. Can you take me higher? Is that Nickelback or Creed?
That feels like a Creed song.
It does feel like a Creed song. But anyway, it's a white guy. I'm trying to press the front of my throat into the back of my throat. Like way of singing. So in
singing
any event,
without singing.
Yeah, they play a different Nickelback song for every player's walk-up song. And they lost the game.
Of course they did. That seems like the recipe for losing. The fuck? Like that, you know, like who thought that was the way to get, you know, get on the right side? You know, well, that's ridiculous. Get him the fuck out of there.
Fucking Nickelback.
That's some baseball ass shit though. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Imagine him doing some weird shit that like related to Nickelback at all in basketball. The fuck? Bro, the idea would have got the man fired. You know what I'm saying? The fuck?
Surprising fact, do you know that Nickelback, that This Is How You Remind Me song, that was the most played radio song of the 2000s, of the aughts, the 00s decade. It beat
can
out
you sing
Usher.
The song for me so I can...
This is how you remind me of what I used to do.
That shit go crazy. Yeah, I used to follow that.
They
should have played that song. I'm tripping, nigga. I don't be knowing who these motherfuckers are for real. If they played that, they lost. What the fuck wrong with them? That shit slapped, G.
That was my intro, nigga, back. And I was like, these dudes are kind of cool. Then he made a song about taking selfies with a weird hat and shit. And I was like, okay, these motherfuckers
okay, yeah,
are
fuck
trash.
These niggas.
But,
Yeah,
that was
with
the
weird
biggest
ass.
Radio song of the aughts, bro. Beat out Usher, beat out any Mariah single you want to throw out. That was the one.
Two Americas.
Indeed.
I also want to provide some space, our last sports story for the week, for Tyler to make fun of Jack Del Rio, who referred to the January 6th insurrection as, quote, a little dust up.
A little dust up.
Wow.
A little. Wow. He called that shit a kerfluffle, bro. There was a violent act of treason where people were attempting to overthrow
just a little a treason
election.
They killed a police officer.
Just a little treason, Mike. It's only a little bit.
And this man called it a brouhaha. Right? And then what kills me, though, the little weak-ass walk back notes app statement. We knew that bullshit was coming. But listen, motherfucker, you were out there with your Oakleys on top of your camouflage sun visor. You met every motherfucking word you said.
The epitome of racism.
You met every motherfucking word you said when you called it that. But in all seriousness, it's just flat out racism. It is a prime example of who gets to, you know, protest, you know, the way this country is ran and who doesn't. Black people do not get that right in Jack Del Rio's eyes, because in Jack Del Rio's eyes, Black people are not citizens. That's what it all boils down to. White people are citizens. White people have the right to exercise their, you know, displeasure with the American government, but not Black people, because Black people do not have that right, because you're not citizens. And that's all it comes down to. Fuck Jack Del Rio and his weak ass Oakley.
That motherfucker really said that shit. I was watching, like, and you could kind of see where he was, like, feeling like, I'm getting deeper in it than I should. You could kind of see, like, and he's defending himself. We should all have opinions, right? We all agree upon that, right?
That's where you always know that they took one step out and the branch started to bend a little too much.
Right,
so
right.
they scoot back on the, like, we all agree that people have brains, right?
But the entire branch,
we all agree
now
that we're biological beings that have thoughts and opinions, right? I mean, you know, we can all agree that the sky is blue, correct? Okay, all right, you're with me. Okay,
right,
you're with
right,
me.
Right, right, right. It's a pastor at the church that's losing the crowd, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, bro, dog, what Tyler said. Come on, man. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think I actually think the racism's even, like, baked. It's like a 7-layer racism dip, because even in, you're talking about who he sees as having the right to protest, but let's also think about what people were protesting. Like, the George Floyd protests were about Black people being, like, unarmed, innocent Black people being killed by police officers. The January 6th insurrection was about people not liking the legitimate results of an American presidential election, which is, like, not a real issue.
Right.
You know, that's, like, what the country was, like, based upon, in addition to not thinking that Black people should have rights against police. And so it's like, even putting them in the same conversation, which there's a lot of people, a lot of conservatives who do that. It's like every level of it is insane and racist.
Yes. Wholeheartedly agree.
Wholeheartedly. Fuck Jack Del Rio.
As prolific motherfucking Twitter user, TFC commenter said, Jack Del Rio means literally masturbating into a river.
What the fuck? Does it for real?
No, it's kind of, sort of, but also, yeah.
You and PF commenter both share an affliction in that I believe you are both reformed Washington football team fans.
Unfortunately.
All right. I want to talk about that. The video that's captured the imagination of America. The video of that dude getting too close to the orangutan cage. Wow. And then getting his shit snatched. Can we just have that on loop for anyone who says they could survive or beat in a fight a wild animal of any size? Like, I mean, orangutan is like half the size of a gorilla. That man was helpless. He grabbed his leg like it was a pencil and it pinned against that shit, bro.
He was probably, the orangutan may have weighed half the weight that the man weighed.
Yeah.
And he was casually, you know what I'm saying, like, snatching that dude up. It was just like, I'm not even trying. I'm just trying to show you something real quick. Relax. Calm down, man. Calm down. I'm just playing with you. Right? They're playing with you. We'll fuck you up, bro. And these motherfuckers be thinking, come on, G.
No.
I want no parts of no animal out here, dog. Fuck you mean. We talked about raccoons. Shit. A raccoon will fuck you up. And that's
you got it.
On chill mode.
Like we've discussed before, if you put a human in, like, an octagon unarmed, like, 15 pounds would be the minimum, would be the minimum from when an animal will give you problems. Like a 15-pound raccoon would fucking unarm human up, bro. We are worthless in regards to pure brute strength. Like, thank God we got thumbs and brains, because we are weak as fuck out here in the grand scheme of things, dog. We don't want no parts with a 15-pound raccoon, with a fucking 10-pound Wolverine. Like, we want no parts of that shit, bro.
Your thumbs and your brain are not shit in front of any kind of wild animal. Yeah. they're snapping the thumbs off and they're drinking your brain out your nose like a fucking icy.
Like, we have seen there are so many house cats in this country that terrorize their owners.
Beating the brakes off their owners, dog.
Day in and day out.
We talk about if a house cat was like 50 pounds heavier, you'd be fooled.
Yeah.
50 pounds, bro.
If
the house cat weighed as much as a third grader, you'd be food. You know what I'm saying? I just looked up the average like weight of orangutan. It goes from like, I think 110 to 220. 110? So I guess we'll say the orangutan was 140. It was the weight of me in seventh grade. And it played with that grown-ass man like he was a fucking toy, okay? We ain't fucking with these animals, man. Be cool, dog. Like he was a fucking rattle. Just shaking my hand up.
He was his binky. He turned that man into a binky, bro.
Right. He wasn't even trying like that. He didn't even seem mad. You know what I mean? There was no anger behind it. None of that shit.
You got to come out of that shirt. You got to come out of the shirt.
Yeah. Somebody said that's why I like wearing shine shirts, because that shit would have tore like a napkin. That's why I wear cheap-ass shorts, because that shirt would have been whoop, and I'd have been running away, dog. But that's crazy. And it took two dudes. We saw two dudes trying to get him up off him.
Once he grabbed his leg, I went from like, oh, this is funny, to being very anxious. I was like, oh, yeah, please don't pull his whole leg through one of those little holes in that cage.
He had the man sideways on the cage. Nigga, I've only seen that done by like Magneto or something. Like, you know,
it looked like the opening scene in the first Jurassic Park movie, where it's the raptor that like pulls the dude in around the cage, and then he's like flopping up and down sideways. Like, it looked like that. And it, like you said, that thing weighs 140. Like, I outweigh that orangutan by a signet by 60, 70 pounds or something, probably. And he's just, it's crazy, bro.
Love to see it.
He said, look what I found.
right.
Crazy. All right. That's all the time we've got for this episode of Jenkins and Jones. We will be back sometime early next week. We're going to talk about that after we're done recording. So until then,
check out the Draymond Green podcast. You're going to get these podcasts. As
like
said.
And subscribe. You're going to get these podcasts.
You're going to get these, and you're going to get his, bro. You're going to get these podcasts in the Volume Network. Okay?
Bye.
Bye.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.